Here at the 2011 Peanut Growers Conference in Panama City, I am speaking to the Peanut Proud Lady, and I'm going to have her introduce herself.
I'm LaJean Manry, and I'm president of Peanut Proud.
And you also work for?
Birdsong Peanuts in Blakely, Georgia.
So you have a real job besides this very important work that you're doing. Now, when you did a presentation tonight at dinner, you talked about the origins of Peanut Proud, the history of Peanut Proud. Tell me about that.
Peanut Proud started out in 2009. It was an industry response to the salmonella crisis in Blakely, Georgia, which was also a crisis for the industry as well as our community because there was so much negativity in the community and people associated any peanut-related business with PCA, which was responsible for that crisis. So it was just an industry response to put together an expo to educate consumers that they could eat peanut butter from major manufacturers. And it was a success. We felt good that we did something, and we just didn't sit back and twiddle our thumbs and just let the industry plummet. And for me, it was twofold because I am from Blakely, and it was my community. And I've worked in the peanut industry for 22 years, and it's my industry. So I'm quite passionate about it.
So now that basically, though, was something that you did for the industry. But then you decided that you wanted to take a Peanut Proud another step further into a humanitarian effort. Now, how did that evolve?
Well, let me just say that from the first festival/expo, we knew we'd be doing more. So we formed a Peanut Proud board and moved forward to make it a 501c3 organization. And, of course, we adopted a mission statement, and the mission statement is to unite the peanut community by celebrating its pride through humanitarian efforts and the recognition of excellence. We had two more festivals in 2010-2011, and as I said earlier tonight, they were not just a funnel cake slash pocketbook vendor festival. They had meaning because they have started for a reason. So we had those festivals in 2010 and 11, Peanut Proud of Celebration in 10, and Proud in Peanut Country in 2011. We did launch the scholarship to a graduate student in food safety, food science in 2010 and 11. So we had gotten that down pat, sent out the the applications and had those reviewed by experts in the field and selected, the recipients of those awards. And we felt real good about that because we want our food safe. But we just had not, the only opportunity we had had so far to do anything humanitarian, because we are dependent on support from the community even and the industry to put the festival on, we didn't have a lot of money. So but we took $1,000 of what we had and gave it to the Haiti project that happened in 2010. So that was the only humanitarian thing that Peanut Proud had been able to do. It was time to have a meeting. We had the festival in March for 2011. It was time to have a meeting with the Peanut Proud Board and discuss this past festival. Do we go forward with another festival? What is the future of Peanut Proud? What about the humanitarian efforts? Well, it'd been gnawing at my heart that I can't expect this industry to give money to put a festival on the square in Blakely, Georgia. Because the whole industry doesn't quite understand that it's not just a festival. It's in Blakely for one thing, but it could have been anywhere that it happened. So the festival has a lot of meaning. It would have never happened without that salmonella instance. So we really needed to do something. So I sent out a meeting notice with an agenda to discuss the launching of the humanitarian efforts and how we could do that. But the meeting didn't come until after we launched the efforts. It's just like calls came in when the storms hit the southeastern states with the tornadoes that wiped out many people in many towns. Calls came in for help with peanut butter from farmers out in Mississippi, actually. So we quickly put together the logistics of buying the peanut butter, getting the trucking companies, and doing what we could to find where it needed to go to get it to the right people and launch Peanut Proud and Giving Back. And it's been a wonderful project. We have delivered over 83,000 jars of peanut butter to seven states. We've delivered let's see, about 1,975 backpacks to kids that lost their schools. With we have filled them with nutritious snacks, peanut butter snacks, and, you know, school supplies. They had nothing. Just to put something in their hand meant a lot, you know. So Peanut Proud has become full circle now. It has fulfilled its meaning. We had been celebrating the pride of the peanut and the fact that we're proud to be from peanut country with the festivals. And we worked on the recognition of excellence, but the humanitarian program needed to come into effect. And it's a tool the entire peanut industry can come together and be as one. As I said, separate agendas, but together we're one.
You told a story about a lady in one of the tornado struck areas who was down to one jar of peanut butter, and it kind of, I mean, I'll let you tell the story again, but it reminds me of what you just said. You really wanted to give back. You wanted to have this humanitarian effort. You just hadn't gotten around to the meeting, and basically the humanitarian effort came to you.
That's right.
So it was like God was saying, well, I knew what you wanted to do, so I made you do it.
It was a sign. It was truly a sign. And I said, it was a great project for Peanut Proud. So it gave us the nudge we needed to go ahead and do some good. It's always right to do the right thing. You want me to tell the story about the lady? The most important part of my last trip out to Mississippi and Alabama was Phil Campbell, Alabama, First Baptist Church. I met the pastor's wife, Angie Haney. She is a workforce, if I've ever seen one. And she shared information with me. She had survived a storm in Florence, so she was very wise to always listen to the weathermen. And she had a lot of respect for what they said every morning. And she listened to the weather that day, and she gathered congregation together and had 200 people in the storm shelter at the church that afternoon. The storm hit at 3:26. One question I failed to ask is how long, but you know, they just last for minutes. But 200 in that storm shelter. Their parsonage was ripped apart. It's a long story and I can't get to all that, but she would, you know, go at night and to a nearby town and spend the night with her daughter. They would drive back to the church every day because the church just had minimum damage, and so they were able to start feeding people every day. Whoever comes to their door, you can eat there, or they'll give it to you in carryouts. And they have people coming from all over to help serve. But they also have tables set up with food and items that people need, where the victims of the storm can come in and get items. And if they need something that Angie doesn't have there, she can tell you who to go to get it from. She's just that resourceful. And we hugged and we talked. And I needed that testimony to make me feel like I didn't want to just deliver to distribution centers and not hear the stories, if you know what I mean. So when she shared the story about the one jar of peanut butter, it was the cutest thing, and I'll share it with your audience now. She was taking inventory one morning to see what she was low on, and she got to the peanut butter, and she said, oh my, one jar of peanut butter, and she wrote it down on her list. She said it was not an hour before a phone call came in with a man asking her, could you use peanut butter? I have a pallet of peanut butter if you could use it. She said, oh my goodness, I just checked and I'm down to one jar. Yes, I can use the peanut butter. So when she got off the phone, she said, I stood there for a minute and I just said, it was like the Lord said to me, Angie, didn't you know I knew you were out of peanut butter? And didn't you know it was on the way? And that was the cutest thing to me. She said, because I have to stop and realize that God did allow this thing to happen. But before he allowed it to happen, he already had a plan in place. People were already getting ready. And you know, we were. We were looking for someone to help. So we didn't want anything bad to happen, but we knew there was going to be need. So it's just been an awesome thing to help. And she shared many more stories. But the attitudes of the people with Angie, they're helping others. It's amazing to see the people helping others. It restores your faith in mankind to see that there is still compassion among us, to see the attitudes of the victims of the storm and how they're receiving blessings from helping other victims of the storm. as I said earlier tonight, I did not hear the first, why me, Lord? Why did this happen to me? And you can just stop and think. You're standing there. You have money in the bank. You have everything you need. And in a few minutes, you don't even have a checkbook in your pocket. You don't have a bank to go to because the town's destroyed. Where do you turn? What do you do? I just can't imagine. I cannot fathom. But throughout it all, the attitudes were wonderful. And as I said in there, it's not, we helped them. And it's not how we helped survive, help them survive the storm. It's the love and hope we give them that helps them dance in the rain.
If there's other people who would like to help, and because you're talking about a lot of people in Alabama, Mississippi, you're also in Missouri, because we sure had a lot of tornadoes this year. Amazing.
Seven states.
Wow. And most people are familiar, especially in the Midwest, with what happened in Joplin and here in the Southeast and all those states. And I know that there's other people who like to help. Because once it disappears from the headlines, it doesn't mean that everything is all better. There's still people who have no homes, who have, no jobs. And that's why you're still out there. And peanut butter is important because it's a non-perishable, great source of protein. And it's something that people can use anytime. So what can people do to help?
People can send contributions to Peanut Proud, Post Office Box 446, Blakely, Georgia, 39823. Attention, LeJean Manry, LeJean Manry. We'd appreciate any help and any initiative for Project Giving Back.
It was nice tonight also here at the Southern Peanut Growers Conference. They are raising money tonight, and you also got a nice big check from the Williston FFA. Tell us a little bit about that.
The Williston FFA wanted to do something to help. They're all about peanuts in their area, too, and when they got the news about Peanut Proud and Project Giving Back, they wanted to know what they could do. And so they thought about a peanut butter drive, which they did, and I'm not sure where they're going to deliver that peanut butter yet, but they wanted to raise money to help. And so they talked to some officials, to the Florida Peanut Producers Association, about how they could help. And they were told, well, if you'll raise funds, we'll match it. So the Florida Peanut Producers did match their funds. And I think the group, the FFA group, raised $1,600 plus, and Florida Peanut Producers matched it. Grand total, $3,249.46. And it's initiatives like that mean so much. People really helping. I can't tell you the feeling that you have inside when you know you've done something to help people less fortunate than yourself.
And what's really important about this, too, people may not know where to give their money. They may be afraid that they're getting scammed or something like this. And you're Peanut Proud. You have no staff. You have no administrative costs. You have no overhead. All the money, all the contributions that come in go to the victims of the storm.
That's correct. It is totally done with volunteers. I work at Birdsong Peanuts, but Peanut Proud is my baby, too. I'm the thinker and the doer with it, but we have a lot of people in the industry that's involved in it. But, no, we do not have paid staff. There's no money allotted for anything like that. It all goes to the cause. And there's other ways you can help, too. Of course, we need your money, but we can take your services. We've received probably about around $170,000 in product and monetary contributions. So it's just been wonderful. And volunteers. We need volunteers. Anyone that wants to be a part of Peanut Proud. I've been thinking about a membership because, when you're a part of something, it means so much more to you. I've thought about individual memberships as well as corporate memberships, that make you feel a part.
Yeah, that was what I was just going to think of. Some of those corporations out there, especially agricultural corporations, this is some way they can give back. Well, thank you very much. And do you have a website also?
We do have a website. It's sort of on a standstill right now. We're trying to get someone new to host it and update it. But you can go to it and then just keep going to it, and we'll have our updates later. But it's www.peanutproud.org or peanutproud.com. So check it out.
Thank you very much here at the Peanut Growers Conference in Panama City. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.